Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy.
Welcome to Motivational Monday. If you noticed, we're not studying Hebrews. Several episodes ago, I ended with the tease that we were going to begin studying the book of Hebrews. Well, just a little backstory. We had a wonderful summer small group study in Hebrews. It was amazing. And I even taped the first two episodes of us going into Hebrews. And then I knew it just wasn't the timing that it needed to take place in. So for any of you that are like, what happened to Hebrews? Keep reading Hebrews. And if and when so prompted, I'll release those episodes and we'll get back into Hebrews. It'll happen. But I've just been privileged of late to be able to talk one-on-one with women. And one of the main questions I try to get in to our time of conversation is, what are you doing each day to hear from God? What are you doing each day to hear from God? And that opens up the ability to hear from them what their rhythms and pattern are to sit with God and offer any opportunities if they don't have a rhythm and pattern for themselves. And the easiest thing for me to offer them is reading their Bible, getting in the Word of God. And it's not only the easiest thing, it's the only thing. But sometimes when I talk with women about reading their Bible, they just don't know where to start. So I fully believe that the reason I felt so heavily the power of season two Mondays simply being a discussion time with what I am delving into God's Word with. And it's a one-year YouVersion Bible plan. I didn't make it up. I didn't buy it. It's free. Go on there, pick a plan, and get started. You can pick a theme plan. You can pick a 10-day, 7-day, 5-day, 20-day, 30-day, 3-day. Or you can pick a year, 365. And I have done YouVersion Bible plans before. This is the first time I have ever used it for a one-year Bible reading plan. I usually use it more sporadically. I do it here, and then several months later, I go back in and do a shorter one here. And it usually is more thematic around what I'm reading because I read my Bible daily. But actually, the NLC Fayetteville Church that I attend, they suggested back in December of last year, or this year, I guess, that we do the one-year Bible plan. So my husband has done the one-year Bible plan several times. My daughter has done it several times. I'm going to be really honest. And if you've talked to me much, you'll have heard me transparently say this. I like the freedom and the flow of reading the Word of God on my own, in the books that I want to, in the order that I want to, in the amount of time I have to read it as I have. So when I first heard one-year Bible plan, every day, it's going to tell me what to read. I had a negative attitude toward it. I'm going to be really honest. And I'm kind of like, I don't need anyone telling me when to read it, how much to read it, when to stop, when to start, because I felt like it was taking away my freedom and the liberty I had in it. I like to be more moved and motivated by the Holy Spirit as I read. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to be obedient. And here's the deal. If I thought a plan for reading the Bible was going to stifle me, then I'm somewhat limiting the power of God's word. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to respect the idea that the NLC churches thought this was worthy of attention because they wanted people back into reading God's word. They wanted that rhythm. And I'm thinking, well, I already have a rhythm for reading his word. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to do it. And my husband was doing it and my daughter was going to do it. I'm like, yes. It has been powerfully impactful. And we are in the late 200s, almost ready for our 300th day. So it's coming to an end. And my daughter and I are already planning what we're going to do January 1 of 2026, because this has been so engaging. And what's I feel the most beneficial is if people you love and know are reading the same thing at the same time, then it's already giving you a springboard for discussion. But all that to say, we're not in Hebrews. We're going to continue and finish out this one-year Bible plan. So this will take us through December. And I just want women listening to be encouraged that if you don't have a plan or a rhythm for meeting with God in His Word, pray about starting one. And if you want to wait and jump in January with a one-year plan, you do that. But from now till then, please listen in. I'm in Galatians. We're reading Isaiah, Galatians, and then we're always reading a Psalms and a Proverbs. So if you're just listening and reading through the plan here at the tail end that Maddie and I are doing, that's wonderful. Or if you just want to start reading Psalms, or if you just start wanting to read Proverbs, or if you want to just pick a book. But I really encourage you to get in the Word of God daily. And if you're thinking, well, that's lofty, like that's a lot, I'm honestly offering you the opportunity to try it. I hope it will change your priority in your life for I'm going to God's word. I am going to be obedient. Remember back to me. I initially did it just to be obedient because it wasn't what I thought was going to be the best path for me. And out of that choice of obedience and discipline, the Holy Spirit has met and overblessed me by saying to me, Paulette, my word is truth. My word is your aim. My truth is truth. It's all throughout the Word of God. And I'm going to do one better. I'm going to even show you how when you're obedient and disciplined and you read out of the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Psalms and the Proverbs, that it's going to almost enlighten you even more in a different way that you can speak on than maybe perhaps the freedom you had in the past. So for this season, I knew it was something He wanted me to be obedient and disciplined with. And I truly believe it so I could speak out of that. That if any of you are like, I don't think that'll work for me, try it. Just try it. But listen along, and then I'd love for you to go back and pursue the truth and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the truth out of the Word after you hear our discussion on it. So we're in Galatians. We're in Galatians chapter 4 and 5. I'm going to kind of put those two together. We had talked about that Paul was so trying to liberate them. He was writing this letter to the Galatians because he was trying to announce to them again the three little words, "You are free." They were getting re-caught up in the legalism of the little C churches, and it was too much about the rituals and the religion. They had lost the relationship with God. So he was trying to remind them that a religion is people coming together around law. A relationship is you have a place in the family. So that's why at the end of chapter 3, he was saying that by faith, you don't have a guardian. You have a Christ who by his death has made you a daughter of God. So we start off in chapter 4 very powerfully with that same idea. You're not working for somebody. You're not earning somebody. You're a part of the family. So chapter 4 of Galatians verse 1, I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave. He is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. And because you are sons and daughters, God has sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Verse 7, so you are no longer a slave, but a son and daughter. And if a son and daughter, then an heir through God. So what he's trying to remind them is, you're his. You're his. He loves you. You have all his authority through him for yourself. You can claim his attributes. That's why we study his attributes. You can claim his characteristics. That's why we study his characteristics. And you can read and look at his responses because those can be our responses. And the truth says we are to be imitators of Christ. So we have to know who Christ was and is so we can imitate him. And let's continue to look. Chapter 4, verse 9. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to this weak, worthless, elementary principles of the world? Whose slaves you want to be once more? So what he was trying to say is you were a slave to the world. You were. But now you know the truth. You believed and accepted Jesus as your truth. And now you want to become weak again and turn back and re-enslave yourself to the world? You want to try to live that game again? So he was just so emboldened with love for them. He wanted to protect them so. He wanted them to seek only God and God's truth and pursue only him. And that if they had one thing that they wanted to be under, it was his authority and his truth. And so then if you look at chapter 5, verse 1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore. Do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Verse 5, for through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. Verse 7, you were running well. Who hindered you? Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Who hindered you? The question I wrote off to, I have a journal Bible, so I write all through my margins. And in my margins, by that, who hindered you? I wrote, who inflicts harm in our hearts? And then under that I wrote, sometimes it's self-infliction. Sometimes it's self-infliction. Sometimes it's not anybody trying to pull us away from the pursuit of Christ. Sometimes it's ourselves. We get lackadaisical, lazy, complacent. Things are going well. So when things are going well, why do we have to work at it? It's kind of like, have you ever made a goal to start a new habit? And then as you start to get pretty good at that habit, what do? We stop. Just when we get going well, we stop. We're like, oh, well, now whatever that was that I set up to do differently, I've achieved it. And now I don't have to worry about it. Well, the minute we lack discipline in that area, it's going to creep and come right back. So I think that's often what happens to us as Christians. It's not this big battle and we can't blame Satan. It's that we become complacent with our own discipline. And then somehow that allows our lack of discipline with meeting God daily gives space for our mind to take us away from what we know is the truth. Therefore, our confidence is lower and we lose our freedom because our flesh begins lying to us. Our minds become trapped. Situations become so lofty that they loom so large. Let's look at chapter 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom. You were called to freedom. That's why he died to set us free. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then let's look at verse 16. Walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and that way you won't gratify the desires of their flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these oppose each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're not under the law. You're under the love of God. And I like to remind myself and say to others, like, that's not worthy of a daughter of the King. When I think about choices I'm making, I think, you know, is that what a daughter of the King would do? Is that what a daughter of the King would say? Is that how a daughter of the King would react? Because if I'm supposed to imitate my God, and I'm a daughter of my God, and he's king, and I'm heir, and I'm a daughter of the King, then I should walk, talk, think, and be worthy of that. I mean, he's given it to me. He sent his son to die for me so that I am worthy. It's nothing I can do to earn it or lose it, but he set me free from my flesh. So what is worthy for me to walk as a daughter of the King is to meet with him daily. First thing for me, first thing in the morning. And that I reset every day my mind, my soul, my loves, my heart, my emotions, my actions, that I reset them. And I ask the Spirit to do that and guide me and lead me in it. Otherwise, I wake up in the morning and I'm led by one thing, me, flesh. Me, flesh. And what I wrote in the margin by chapter 5, 16 through 18 about being led by the Spirit and not the flesh is you can't produce in the field what you plant in the flesh. You can't produce in the field what you plant in the flesh. But I can produce in the field what the Spirit plants. So what do I crave to do? I crave daily, each morning, to trust him, dwell in him, delight in him, and continue building my faith. That I continue to allow each situation and circumstance, positive or negative, to just increase my faith. And then let's go to chapter 5, starting with verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. Because if we live in the Spirit and not the flesh, we get the fruit of living in that Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So I've got to keep in step with the Spirit daily, because a daughter of the King exhibits love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, because the Holy Spirit guides us to imitate that. Without the daily dose of discipline in the Word of God, Paulette takes over. And Paulette is not by flesh able to exhibit love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So if you're looking for a gauge, a barometer for, I don't know if I'm living by the Spirit and keeping in step with Him, use that as a gauge. As a daughter of the King, are you exhibiting love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? And if your answer to any of those is, not lately, then gently remind yourself that it's not an earn-based religion. It's a loved-based relationship. Ask forgiveness and seek Him. I'm going to cross-reference us over to 2 Timothy 2:21. 2 Timothy 2:21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. Verse 24, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently endure evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. So again, you can't earn His love, so you can't lose it. So therefore, if your barometer gauge is like, ooh, I'm so sorry, Heavenly Father, forgive me. Lately, I haven't been, and fill in the blank with loving, joyful, peace, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, or able to control myself. Fill in the blank with, Heavenly Father, I'm so sorry, forgive me, for of late I haven't been blank, which is not worthy of a daughter of the King. But remind yourself with 2 Timothy 2:21 that if anyone seeks to cleanse himself from what is dishonorable, so ask forgiveness for it, boom, you will then be an honorable vessel set apart by Him for holy use. So that's the thing. All we have to do is say, forgive me and lead me and start again. And it's erased. And we go on pursuing righteousness, faithfulness, love, and peace. And we call on God with a pure motive and a pure heart. He knows. He knows. It's no different than a kid going, can I have a toy? And you as a parent going, no. Why do we need a toy? So He knows our motive. If you're coming to Him honorably, you are really sorry for where you have stepped away in the flesh from where you need to be in step with the Spirit. And if you ask Him to forgive you and to have the Holy Spirit help you pursue righteousness, faithfulness, love, and peace. And if your heart is pure, that's what he's going to do. And as the Lord's daughters and as servants of his, he is going to equip us. That's how we're able to teach. That's how we're able to patiently endure. That's how we're able to talk to someone gently. That's how we are able to gain wisdom and knowledge and understanding. That's how we are able to discern. It's by nothing we do. It's nothing we deserve. It's nothing we can get from him. It is simply walking in step with the Spirit. And as you live by the Spirit and you keep in step with the Spirit is going to grant it to us. And for me, my flesh spirit is every day. That's why when I get up in the morning, it's I give you this day. Rid me from myself, fill me with your Spirit, and send me. Send me to those that will speak into my life and over me. And when you feel and see it worthy, send me into other people's lives that can maybe gain something from my vulnerability. And then I'm so excited. Listen to next Monday when our motivational message will be on chapter 6, the last chapter of Galatians. So again, back to the beginning. If you don't have a pattern and a rhythm for meeting with God in his word daily, start by reading Galatians. Read as many verses as you have time for. Again, this isn't an earn-based religion. This is a love-based relationship. So if you're like, man, today I can only read 2 verses. Read 2 verses. And if another day you're like, wow, I could read 4, then read 4. And if you're like, all I can do in the morning is say, I give you this day, but maybe at lunch I'll have an opportunity, then give him this day and meet with him in the word at lunch. Some women that I talk to literally have a rhythm for their prayer time in the morning as they're getting ready, but their time with God is at night before they go to bed. Yay! That's a daily dose of discipline. Fit it in. Be obedient. Meet him in his word. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal his truths and be delighted and overwhelmed by him. May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.